You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a Wednesday, the midweek edition coming your way here at KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker. Good show coming up for you. Rob Gray will join us as he covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll take a look at the Cyhawk game from the Cyclones' perspective. Iowa and Iowa State coming up on Saturday afternoon and evening. We've got it for you with John Walters and Eric Heft at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock with the kickoff, and then the postgame show to follow. That'll be coming up on Saturday, so we will talk with Rob about what Iowa State expects coming over to Iowa City for the first time in 4 years. So we will talk about that with Rob coming up in just a little bit. We'll also talk a little bit about Brian Ferentz and his meeting with the media today. We'll also take a look at college football from the weekend that did not have Iowa or Iowa State involved. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is the first Wednesday after Labor Day. And that only means one thing, and we will talk about that coming up on the program as well. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at DuPaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by checking them out right there. You can also link to that website by going and visiting our website at KGYMradio.com. Text line available to you and the phone line as well at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. As we come your way from the Circa Sports Iowa studios. Scott Udash, Mark Dukes across the way, Ben on the other side of the glass, and most importantly, you, our listener out there on this sun-splashed Wednesday afternoon. Good day to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Aaron Judge has just hit his 55th home run of the year against Louis Varland. Making his major league debut for the Twins at Yankee Stadium. He struck out Judge in his first encounter. And Aaron just reminded Louis that I'm Aaron Judge and you're not. Yeah. Varland pitched for Cedar Rapids just last year.
Correct. So he's on the
made
rapid.
Made a meteoric rise and it's done quite well right now. Twins up 3-1.
They are up 3-1. White Sox and the Mariners will get started in just a little bit, and the Guardians will be at Kansas City coming up tonight in the American League. The tight, amazingly tight.
Mediocre.
And mediocre American League Central as we come up on 8 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here today. Hey, we're on the eve of the NFL season. By the way, I want to let everybody know that, unfortunately, due to a change in his schedule, we will not be talking to Chris List today, but we will be tomorrow. He will join us at just past the start of the program tomorrow before we talk to Tom Kakert of HawkeyeReport.com. So we will have your fantasy football questions tomorrow. Tristan Cockcroft will join Todd and Alex coming up later on the usual per Wednesdays, but Chris will join us on Thursday this week. And, of course, their appearances brought to you by Imon Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports right here on KGYM. Should mention as well, with the NFL season starting tomorrow, you need to get your pick for the NFL knockout pool with Imon Communications sealed by tomorrow night at 7:15. Now, you must be 18 years or older to participate. And your first pick must be entered by kickoff tomorrow night before the Bills take on the Rams at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. All you need to do is go to our website at kgymradio.com and find the information for entering the NFL knockout pool. Use the password IMON, that's all caps, I-M-O-N, and you'll have a chance to win $300 of cash from KGYM and I'm on communications. Be sure you do that. Be sure you do that. It's a lot of fun.
Chris Liss will be grading your draft from last night. I already gave it a strong B.
Okay.
And
I can live with that.
That's not easy when you have the number one pick and then you get what? 23 and 4?
24 and 25.
24 and 5. Yeah.
I had ample time to eat pizza between picks.
Yeah.
We had a great time. We had a great time last night. Jonathan Taylor went first. I don't think there's a real surprise right there. Run on running backs.
And you took his backup.
Later on.
For insurance purposes.
Yes, I did. I took the handcuff.
You don't want a Saquon Barkley situation.
No, I do not. I do not. So I took Hines there later on as a backup running back to Mr. Taylor, just in case things don't work out. 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the program. We mentioned Brian Ferentz, the offensive coordinator for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Mark met with the media, and this happens periodically throughout the year. This is not a special circumstance, a special situation or anything like that. It wasn't due to the fact that, you know, not everyone was enamored with the Iowa offense.
It was Brian Stern.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was Brian Stern.
It was Brian Stern. And so he met with the media today, and, you know, nothing earth-shattering. Said he still has a lot of confidence as far as his offense is concerned. Did say they have to get better. Quite a bit of coach speak today, but I guess you weren't going to expect Brian Ferentz to come out and say, okay, no, we're making a change all across the board in 3 days getting ready for Iowa State, Mark.
No, in fact, they expressed confidence in both Spencer Petras and Alex Padilla. He used two words to describe the offensive performance, and those were surprised and disappointed. And he took a bit of ownership in the performance, as he should. Said Petras had ample time in several situations to make good throws, make good plays, didn't pull it off.
Yeah, one of the quotes that Brian Ferentz had, he said, the gut reaction is to panic, but we can't do that. Stresses that it's a long season. Says Petras struggled when Let's start over. The gut reaction is to panic, but we can't do that. That was his quote. And yes, said that Petras struggled when fundamentals wavered, and I would agree with that. Footwork has a lot to do with how you throw the ball as far as quarterbacking is concerned. Same thing with pitching. As far as baseball, shooting a jump shot in basketball, you have to have the proper technique. You have to have the proper fundamentals. He said that his performance in the game, Petras' performance, was not a reflection of practice throughout the spring and summer. I guess we will wait and see for Saturday, right?
Yeah, you have to wonder why. This is a veteran quarterback, went to the Manning Passing Academy during the summer, put in all kinds of work, and then largely laid an egg on Saturday. We'll see what happens in game two.
Yeah. 8186 weighing in on the text line. I do believe that there is no way they could have looked worse in practice. Pick up the pieces, move on to Saturday. I would agree. If you're a Hawkeye fan, I
want to know that's football.
Didn't get it. That's football yesterday, I don't believe, or today, from Junior Ferentz. But hey, it's 1-0, and you move on. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM, and we did spend almost the entire program yesterday talking about Iowa, mainly Iowa State as well. As the Cyclones, of course, with the big win over Southeast Missouri on Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. We did not get a chance to talk a whole lot, Mark, about the other games on an elongated and very, very big first weekend of college football. Yays and nays, if you will, as far as the weekend is concerned. Of course, it was highlighted by just an absolutely couple crazy games. Number one was early on in the weekend with North Carolina and Appy State and what Appy State did in the fourth quarter and what they nearly accomplished pulling off another big upset. couldn't quite get it because they messed up a couple of two-point conversions. But that's the way it goes. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Thank you, Scott. And the other one, of course, was Florida State and LSU. And LSU losing on a blocked extra point after going 99 yards in a minute in that game to come within 1 point. Not tying it up, but come within 1 point. And then special teams, which were a bugaboo all night to the LSU Fighting Tigers. Sorry, Troy. And to Brian Kelly, reared its ugly head. It was a great game, though.
Yeah, also in the ACC, North Carolina State, highly regarded, just escaped East Carolina 21-20. So there you have it, 3 1- or two-point games involving ACC teams. Thoroughly entertained by the North Carolina and Appy State. Of course, Mack Brown, North Carolina coach, got his start at Appalachian State. And then you mentioned Florida State and LSU, highly entertaining. I don't think that's a statement on LSU per se, but it's a heck of a way to lose a game.
Other thing that jumped out at me was Georgia absolutely curb-stomping Oregon.
Right.
And
Oregon out of the rankings.
Oregon and should be out of the rankings. And that is with a defensive coordinator that knows that team inside and out, who was the Georgia defensive coordinator the last couple of years. And Georgia did not treat him well. Did not treat him well. Bulldogs are really good. I think Notre Dame's better than we thought. I thought Notre Dame played a strong game Saturday night against Ohio State. Quite frankly, I thought Ohio State would look better. They're going to be fine. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but I thought the Buckeyes would look a little bit better.
Florida-Utah was a good game, too.
It was.
Could have gone either way.
Your Utes are out of the national championship.
My Utes are, well, probably.
They are. They are.
But fell to Florida. And Arkansas-Cincinnati. Arkansas, you know, highly regarded and proved so.
Yeah, and I tell you what. Arkansas kind of had that game in hand the whole way. Cincinnati kept just hanging and hanging and hanging. But I thought the Hogs looked very good. Very good, good. And I'm not just, you know, saying that for
pandering.
Razorback Dale. I thought they did. I thought they looked very, very good as far as that game is concerned. And Ohio State's going to be fine. Nothing wrong with the Buckeyes. Did get a couple of little nicks in that game. So we'll see. And that's the one thing that, you know, could derail you as you move on. But it's only one game into it.
Right.
One game into it. We're going to talk to Rob Gray about Iowa State football. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Plenty to talk about. We'll take a look back at Iowa State and Southeast Missouri State. Look ahead to Iowa and Iowa State. What went right? What went wrong as far as the Cyclones in that win? That they looked really good in the second half, I thought, against Southeast Missouri. And yes, it is not a great opponent, but you still got to get things done. We'll all have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you here in just a little bit. And I think what we'll do, we'll talk to Rob first, Mark, and then we'll do the update when we come back from that. Is that
works for me?
Work for you?
Yep.
Okay.
And it works for Emil's.
Very good. And it works for Emil's as well. So we'll take a break from the Circus Sports Iowa Studios. We'll come back and Rob Gray will join us, and we'll talk Iowa State's football. Looking ahead to Cy-Hawk game between Iowa and Iowa State. Back with more after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
We're going to have more sunshine today, and it's going to be a nice warm afternoon with temperatures in the low 80s. We'll have tolerable humidity levels too. Later tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies, maybe some areas of fog, and we'll have temperatures dropping down to around 60 degrees. Then tomorrow, we'll have sunny skies. Temperatures will be in the low 80s once again, and we'll take it up to the mid 80s on Friday. We'll stay dry through the end of the work week with a chance of rain increasing late Saturday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
I want to be part of something bigger.
I want to make the world better, safer,
I want to work for Collins Aerospace.
Collins Aerospace has an immediate need for 13 test technicians to work on radios for commercial and military avionics applications in our climate-controlled Cedar Rapids facility. Starting pay is $28.68 an hour, with shift differentials for second and third shifts.
Alpha.
Bravo.
Collins.
I want to work for Collins Aerospace.
Our union employees enjoy excellent benefits, including medical, dental, and vision insurance available on day one. Apply to be a test technician for Collins Aerospace in Cedar Rapids right now. Text COLLINS to 71441. COLLINS to 71441 for the full job description and online application. Collins Aerospace is an equal opportunity employer.
Always have loved kids, like having a daycare, extending our family, having another kid, and just kind of made sense to do more improvements and add along the way. We've been members of DuPaco Credit Union for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, about 4 years.
They've helped with just building our credit. So then when we did our refinancing, we realized how much we saved in interest with DuPaco Credit Union, and then having that availability to put back into our home from the home equity basically saved us. Just have that there and it's available, and we're able to make our goals happen.
Got a, you know, privacy fence that provides safety for our kids and the daycare kids, and yep. I don't gotta put the dog on the leash anymore.
It's a nice feeling letting my daycare just get out and just play. Run free. And that there is just another example that DuPaco Credit Union has had our back.
Your money for good. Learn more at DuPaco.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
GEICO presents Daily Affirmations.
Repeat after me. Our thoughts are like the ocean.
Our thoughts are like the ocean.
Our thoughts create our reality.
Our thoughts create our reality.
We're thinking GEICO offers claim service 24/7 with personalized attention from an assigned team.
GEICO offers claim service? I wasn't thinking that.
We think it and it becomes our reality.
So, what about washboard abs?
Let's give it a go. Think really hard.
Okay, abs.
Yep, keep thinking.
To manifest more GEICO in your life, go to GEICO.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fansville, where the refs are always wrong and Dr. Pepper is always right.
Always.
Where the mountains are capped with cooler ice and children learn the 23 flavors of Dr. Pepper before they learn the alphabet.
Smart.
It's the one place where a man is a 6 unless he's wearing face paint.
He's a 10.
And where fans deserve a Dr. Pepper no matter if they win or lose.
But we're gonna win.
Get ready for anything to happen this college football season on Fansville by Dr. Pepper.
The one fans deserve.
Grab some today.
Back with you in the gym class here in KGYM on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Going to talk to Rob Gray coming up here in just a moment. A couple of texts to get to here before we talk to Rob. And we talked about this yesterday, and that would be the booing at Kinnick Stadium. Friend David Walker, 70,000-plus fans booing their quarterback is not the solution. 6665 saying, I didn't like the fact that the Iowa fan base was booing on Saturday. Although I feel the same frustration as they do, I just don't think it's a good representation of Iowa fans as a group. If I was a recruit at that game, I may think twice about coming to Iowa, knowing players get booed by their own fans. Something for Iowa fans to think about going into the weekend. So a couple of thoughts out there. We talked about that yesterday. If you missed it, go back and check out the podcast at KGYMradio.com, Apple, or Spotify.
Yeah, it's a matter of opinion. We expressed ours yesterday, and we'll see what happens this Saturday. Iowa State comes in. Should there be similar failings on the part of the Iowa offense and Petras? Could hear the same.
We'll see. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Wednesday edition of the show. And our friend Rob Gray joins us, who covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, does a terrific job, and read his stuff online at thegazette.com, and give him a follow on Twitter as well. Rob, first thing I got to ask you, did you enjoy the 1 o'clock start?
I did, and thanks for the kind intro, and good to be with you, Scott and Mark. It's not, in these print deadlines in this day and age, It's not often common that you're able to make it with a story that's actually fully formed with quotes. So that was definitely nice and picture perfect day. So bring on more. There aren't going to be many more, but if every game could kick off at 1 p.m., I'd be pretty darn happy.
Rob, I saw the score. I saw the highlights. Didn't see the entire game. You did. What'd you see?
Well, I saw Iowa State really try to get Hunter Decker settled in his first start at quarterback. A lot of different types of throws in the first half, really passing to set up the run. And he performed extremely well. 293 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. And the interception wasn't egregious. It was just, you know, kind of trying to do a little bit too much, trying to fit it into a window that wasn't quite wide open. And then the second half, they ran the ball really well with Jirel Brock and others. So, again, SEMO, Southeast Missouri State, is at best probably a middling FCS program, I would say. But so Iowa State just mix and match and sort of treat the game, it felt like, a little bit like an exhibition. And in terms of mixing in a lot of different guys in the 2-deep and 3-deep. But Hunter Decker is trying to get him going early and really having him stretch the field and go sideline to sideline is what stood out to me the most.
And my thoughts, anyway, it looked like, you know, with a lot of new people in there for Iowa State, it looked like, as expected, I think, a little bit of a, not, I don't want to say a slow start, but it wasn't, you know, rockets coming out of the locker room or anything like that. But I thought Iowa State really hit their stride in the second half, and I thought they looked better as the game moved on and progressed. What say you?
Oh, yes, I completely agree, Scott. They allowed – now, again, I really believe – well, anyway, SEMO was able to drive with a lot of improvised runs and quarterback runs and short passes that Iowa was giving them. They ate up about a half of the first quarter. But then transfer linebacker Colby Reeder got his hand on a ball, tipped it to Tyler O'Needham, a backup defensive lineman, for the interception. And, you know, that kind of – it wasn't a great look watching them get dinked and dunked down the field for almost 8 minutes. But, again, made the big play defensively. And, as you said, he scored on the first 3 touchdowns, all Hunter Deckers to Xavier Hutchinson, but really did kind of hit a stride where you could see him doing pretty much everything they do. If they need a big pass, they got a big pass in the second half. If they needed a big run from Jirel Brock, they got it. And the defense really clamped down and honed in. I don't think they were trying to do a whole lot. Will McDonald didn't play a whole lot of snaps. They worked in a lot of guys in the 2 and 3 deep throughout that game, and I think that will bode well for them in the future. Now, how much in an extremely hostile and loud Kinnick Stadium atmosphere, who knows when this matchup comes around. But they got a lot of guys auditions, and I think they like what they saw on the most part.
You wrote a piece that I think is just out today online anyway, Rob, and the theme was – Iowa State is going to need production from its quote-unquote supporting players. Explain.
Well, I mean, again, Hunter Deckers to Xavier Hutchinson, 3 touchdowns, 3 drives. But if you peel back a little bit on that, they converted 3rd downs on each of those drives before Hutchinson scored, and it was different guys. Jalen Noll caught a pass. You know, they ran for him with Cartavius Norton, a true freshman that really runs powerfully and unfortunately is almost certainly out for this game. I think Coach Campbell called it doubtful after a leg injury, looked like potential hamstring. They hoped it might have been cramps. But then, for Hutchinson's 3rd score, 2 third down conversions. Steve Easton being the tight end, and Eli Sanders just got a 3rd-and-1 as well. So it looks like it's just the Deckers and Hutchinson show, and it sort of was. But it had to be more in that game, and it certainly will have to be more against an Iowa team that defensively, at least, is truly elite. And it will be the best defense Iowa State plays in the regular season. And, again, Iowa State has hurt itself with turnovers that are well-documented in recent meetings. And if they can get comfortable, and that they'll need to be using a variety of sources on offense to move it down the field. And that's going to be a key to the game for them and a key to the season, really, I think, moving forward.
Rob, you mentioned Xavier Hutchinson. What a day he had to start to his senior season. And he's going to be one of the best, not only best receivers in the Big 12, but one of the best receivers in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I will say this, it's going to be interesting to see how defenses change in playing him, starting with this Saturday, to be honest with you. I don't think Iowa's going to change a whole ton. They're not going to double him all over the place. They may shade him a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. But I thought it was very, very apropos that you mentioned the fact that some of the others have to step up and did step up in the second half of that game. So I guess a two-part question. What about Xavier? How much better he's gotten this year, and then the others?
Well, if I'm Iowa, I'm going to definitely shade toward Xavier Hutchinson for sure, because he has the potential to, you know, whether it's downfield, whether it's turning a short pass with single coverage on him into a big play, he can do that all day against pretty much anyone, which may indeed open up the Jalen Knowles. I think it's going to be important for them to complete some passes out of the backfield to Jirel Brock and others, because running game is probably going to be tough sledding. I mean, Iowa was eighth nationally in rushing defense last year, always stout, gave up, 1.1 yards per carry against South Dakota State. So they've got to find creative ways to get production out of the backfield. So, yes, I expect Xavier Hutchinson to receive some extra attention. If Iowa State's going to reverse this trend, 0-5 in the Campbell era and six straight losses to Iowa, they're going to have to have the other players, you know, whether it's Darren Wilson or Dimitri Stanley making a big play downfield, and all the other guys I mentioned, they're all going to have to be at their best in order for Hunter Deckers to have a chance to be comfortable and be able to stretch the field and use every inch of it, which is sometimes the one thing that Iowa's defense is vulnerable to.
Rob, how did Iowa's 7-3 win on Saturday play in Ames?
Well, it was certainly in the press box. Everyone was sort of paying attention to it. It was just remarkable, I guess, to watch South Dakota State had, 120 yards of offense. Iowa had 160-ish, I think. And when it was 5-3 for all that time, they're like, oh, a safety's going to win it. I mean, it was just kind of wild to see. But I mean, I guess it shouldn't have been that unexpected given – unfortunately for Iowa, Spencer Petras's recent struggles with one touchdown and eight interceptions in the last seven games. I think people at Iowa State know that Iowa is potentially much better than that. I know they're down some receivers, starting tailback perhaps again this week, and working with some new guys on the offensive line. But at the same time, Iowa's been at its best. And again, 9-0 in turnovers in the five straight wins versus Coach Matt Campbell's Cyclones. Iowa executes. Iowa makes Iowa State uncomfortable. And Iowa State frequently makes mistakes in this game. So I don't know if we read too much into week one. As long as Iowa can generate some offense, they're certainly going to have a chance on the strength of that stout defense.
Rob Gray joining us at 3:33, talking Iowa State football here on Cy-Hawk Week as Iowa and Iowa State get ready for the clash on Saturday. You can hear it right here on KGYM. Let's talk about one thing that I was really wanting to see from Iowa State. Turned out to be, at least for one game, a big positive. The punting game. Mr. Perkins, the freshman, 47-yard average.
Yeah, he did granted in much limited duty compared to Torrey Taylor with his 10 punts, 7 inside the 20 against the Jackrabbits. He did a little Torrey Taylor impression in his true freshman and Iowa State debut. Tongue-in-cheek, obviously, there. But, yeah, you like to see that. A true freshman coming in, it doesn't matter who the opponent is, that a 50-yarder and was very consistent, as you said, and also having a couple other strong punts. It's going to be an interesting factor in a game that's probably points are going to be a premium. You know, you have a true freshman place kicker in Jace Gilbert who also looked good, had a touchback on the first one. I think a couple other kickoffs were designed to be a little bit short and let the coverage team do what it does. But you're going to have a guy who hasn't attempted a collegiate field goal in that game and for Iowa State, and you're going to have a punter coming into a hostile environment for the first time. So special teams always a key in this game. Torrey Taylor, arguably the player of the game in Iowa's 27-17 win a season ago, and obviously Iowa State being -4 in turnovers was a big deal too. But, yeah, so far so good with those guys. But, again, Kinnick, and especially with that, you know, the way the north end zone is now, it's going to be louder than ever, and it's going to definitely put pressure on those young guys to prove that they can perform consistently.
I think about Deckers, Rob, and the fact that he, so to speak, got his feet wet last year in this game and performed well. Couple that with what he did on Saturday, I don't think he's going to be too nervy, do you?
You know, he has been asked about anxiety and nerves, even going back to, I can think about media day and just how he really said, other than maybe the first time he got into a game, he really hasn't felt it. And after the win against Southeast Missouri State, he said he sort of expected there to be some nerves for a sort of start, and they just weren't there. I think it speaks to the type of player that he is. He exhibits a quiet confidence. A subdued swagger, if you will. I mean, I think he firmly believes in himself in part because of how assiduously he prepares. And I think he learned that behind Brock Purdy. I think he was always sort of that type of guy. Coach Campbell shared a story a while back about his recruitment and how he came to a camp. They'd already had a quarterback committed to that class and just sort of showed up at the camp and wowed them so much they offered him right after, and he committed a couple of weeks later. And you know, given Brock Purdy was already there, and it was a couple of years ago, and Brock Purdy was probably starting quite a long longer as he did, that was something to offer a second guy. And of course, Deckers rose to the top after that, and he said that he just wanted to show them, quote, what they were missing out on at the time, and he did that. Then will he continue to do it? We shall see. But so far, he is. He is making the grade throughout spring, summer, fall camp, and week one for Iowa State.
Matt Campbell has checked off a lot of boxes in Ames, a ton of them. Is it safe to say the biggest box left for him to check off is beating Kirk Ferentz in Iowa?
Well, outside of winning the Big 12 championship, it's the one that is unchecked. He's beaten every team that's on the schedule on an annual basis, except Iowa. And it's been kind of a house of horrors type of game. You go back a couple of years ago, they're going to have a chance for Purdy to line up and try to lead him down the field at Jack Trice Stadium. And Tre'Quan Young blocks so far downfield. He knocks into DeShonte Jones. Ball goes out of bounds. Forget it. 1-point loss for Iowa State. Last season, as I mentioned, the 4 turnovers. One, a scoop and score for Iowa after a rare Breece Hall fumble inside the 10. And I believe 20 of Iowa's 27 points are up by turnovers. So it's been a game where, you know, Coach Campbell always talks about stress with attention to detail. It's been a game where Iowa State, in the margins and in terms of detail, just has not been good against Iowa. So I think it's important from that aspect. And I think, I mean, I'm sure it's important for Iowa to get to 2-0-2, looking how their schedule sets up. But if the Cyclones, just from a season standpoint, can actually get over the hump for the first time since 2014 against the Hawkeyes, it really sets up well to go 3-0 in the non-conference with a big game against defending Big 12 champion Baylor coming up in week 4. But they got to clean everything up, and they haven't been able to do that, obviously, against Iowa and the Campbell era. So, yes, it would be a big box to check, not just symbolically, but in terms of this season as well.
This is a tough game for me to figure, only going off one game, Rob. But in this series, recent years, we've seen 9-6. We've seen 44-41 a couple times.
Yeah.
What kind of game do you expect?
Well, based on week one, based on a lot of those recent meetings, except for, as you said, 44-41, what, 11 years ago with the Steel Jamps game from an Iowa State perspective, and the 44-41, 5 years ago. You kind of expect the unexpected, but it's hard for me to believe, given how good these defenses have been for Iowa for a long time, but Iowa State particularly the last 4 or 5 seasons, that it's going to be anything but a points or at a premium game. I thought initially, I mean, I'll eventually have to put a prediction in the Gazette, but I see it a field goal either way. And I really think the under is probably very much in play. Now, that doesn't mean that'll play out that way. But boy, it sure seems like on paper and what we've seen in week one from both teams, that this is going to be the type of game where if you can get to mid double digits, you're going to have a good chance of winning the game.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, with the way Iowa's offense looked last week, and who knows, it could be an aberration, but it could not be, might not be. Higher scoring game, I got to think, favors the Cyclones, and I think something toward a lower scoring game favors the Hawkeyes.
No, I completely agree that would be the case. With the caveat that, you know, Iowa scored 27 points with 170 yards-ish of offense last season. Again, if Iowa State's shown the propensity to make to not only give up defensive touches, touchdowns, but special teams touchdowns, and again with Torrey Taylor flipping the field as he did so well, not only in last season's matchup, but pretty much every game as a Hawkeye punter, there are a lot of things that can lead to Iowa points outside of, you know, regardless of how anemic the offense might be at times. So I'd agree generally, but I think Iowa State's got a good chance even in a low-scoring game as well with Iowa with the new kicker as well. So, I mean, a lot of variables there in the special teams, of course, outside of Torrey Taylor.
Yeah. Well, it should be interesting. Always is. Should be fun. Coming up.
Is the band coming over?
You know what? I do not know. But that's a good you know, I'll have to dig into that.
There you go. Well, Rob will find out. And safe travels over to Iowa City, Rob. Always enjoy talking with you, and keep up the great work at the Gazette, and we'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Always great to talk to you as well.
All right, thanks. Rob Gray joining us here, covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff at thegazette.com. Good stuff with Rob right there.
Does a great job.
Knows his business very, very well, knows his football very, very well, and loves those 1 o'clock starts.
Don't we all?
Deadline will not be quite as fun this week. Game, you got to figure, what, 6:30, 6:45 it'll get done?
Yeah.
That's, you hope for no late game heroics one side or the other, because you may have that thing written by the time the fourth quarter starts. And how many times have you had to rewrite something in the fourth quarter?
Multiple.
It ain't fun.
Nope.
No, it is not. 3:42 here in the gym class program. And before we get to a break, Mark, why don't we go ahead and get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for the folks out there. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them at emilshideaway.com. They're across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. Eat local and try their burgers and fries. They're made fresh daily. Wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar, or bring the whole family for friendly service in their dining area. Open at 4 o'clock. That is Emil's Hideaway. What do we got?
Iowa Athletics has found a replacement for Barbara Burke, who is retiring at the end of this school year. That person is Beth Getz. She will become the Iowa Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer in the Athletics Department. Getz will come from Ball State, where she has been an executive there. She also was in the front office at the University of Minnesota. Major League scoreboard, the Twins leading 3-1. Bottom of the fifth inning, Louis Varland, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel, now out of the game. 5 1/3 innings, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts, and only an Aaron Judge home run. The Las Vegas Aces are in the WNBA Finals, Scott. That means Kia Stokes, the former Lynn Marsh star, will go for a championship. She had 4 points, 6 rebounds in 24 minutes last night in the clinching win. Speaking of the WNBA, one of the all-time greats, Sue Bird, announced her retirement after last night's game. 13-time All-Star, 5-time Olympic gold medalist. She retires at age 41. UConn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
41?
Yes.
When did that happen? Holy buckets.
13 All-Star games ago.
That's crazy. 41. Oh, what a career she had. One of the pioneers as far as women's basketball and the WNBA in itself is concerned. And, you know, just talking with Rob and talking about Iowa and Iowa State, Varsity Bound put this out, of course, does a great job with the Iowa high schools and girls and the boys. That you think this game means a lot when there are – they listed each one of the names out, but Iowa State has 47 native Iowans on their roster. Iowa has 55 native Iowans on the roster. So
they get it.
102 people from Iowa, the state of Iowa, played high school football in Iowa, will be playing or at least on the sidelines on that game on Saturday, which I think is pretty cool because, you know, there was once upon a time, not too long ago, Mark, when recruiters, you know, unless there was a, you know, blue chip, four star, whatever, they didn't come to Iowa very often. They flew across to Iowa to go to California and to Texas. But, you know, that says a lot about the quality of high school football in Iowa.
Yeah, it strengthens the meaning of this game, I think, for those guys. Everybody from Deckers, from West Sioux, out of Haywarden, about as far west as you can go. And then about as far east as you can go and points in between. So, dang it. 3-3. Yankees Twins.
Was that Judge?
Gleyber Torres. A two-run homer.
Should have left the Colonel in, man.
Griffin Jacks giving up a two-run bomb.
Hey, I'll trade you straight up for Joe Kelly.
No, thanks.
No, thanks. Did I make you feel better?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, okay. Well, just mentioning Joe Kelly kind of got my blood boiling. 3:47, we'll take a break, come back, and have more. Iowa women's basketball schedule has been released, and we also have, of course, a preview, 5 months in the making. We'll get to that when we return after this here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
CRST is looking for diesel truck mechanics in Cedar Rapids. Come help maintain their fleet of tractors and trailers. All skill levels are encouraged to apply. Even if you're not sure you meet the requirements, apply and try. CRST offers competitive starting wages and a comprehensive benefits package, plus 4-day work weeks, a boot allowance, uniform laundry services, and the latest shop tools and equipment. Apply to be a diesel truck mechanic now at CRST.com/jobs or contact McCall Atwater at 319-440-1034.
Save the day.
January 8th.
8 days after New Year's Day. Yeah.
Is that right? Or is it 7?
No one cares! The Z102.9 Wedding Show!
Sunday, January 8th!
Cedar Rapids!
Be there!
Exceed your expectations of what makes a great paint or stain with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains from Menards. Now all 11% off with some of the most advanced technology like enhanced UV resistances, dirt shedding protection, and true one coat coverage paint and primer in one. Finding your perfect paint or stain is easy. Get 11% off everything, including Pittsburgh Paints and Stains, now at Menards. Good through September 11th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
You can't get much for $5 these days. Unless you go to Wendy's for a $5 Biggie Bag. Get your choice of double stack, junior bacon cheeseburger, or crispy chicken BLT. Plus, 4-piece nugs, fries, and a drink. All for just $5.
You got that bag. You got that Biggie Bag. You got that bag.
That was smooth, wasn't it? That's how you're going to feel when you get that Biggie Bag at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes 4-piece nuggets, small soft drink, and small fry. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
With other lenders, it can feel like they're calling the wrong plays, not Cross Country Mortgage. They're the masterminds behind perfect play calling. Go with them and your home loan experience will end in a victory parade in your new neighborhood. You're the perfect free agent to sign with the best loan originators in the game. And Cross Country Mortgage is dedicated to getting it done. Reach out today at ccm.com. That's ccm.com.
Equal housing opportunity. All loans subject to underwriting approval. Cross Country Mortgage LLC. NMLS 3029. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
3:49, back with you on the Gym Class. Don't forget, tomorrow, Chris Liss will join us and answer your fantasy football questions. Was not able to join us today, had a last-second change as far as his schedule is concerned, but he will join us tomorrow, about 3:10, 3:15 right there. And Tom Kakert to talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes as Cy-Hawk Week continues. That will be your Thursday menu right here on KGYM. And don't forget, tomorrow night we have the NFL opener between the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams. And you have until kickoff of that game to get into the KGYM knockout pool, brought to you by Imon Communications. Just go to KGYMradio.com for all of the information you need. You must be 18 years or older to participate, and your first pick must be in by the kickoff on Thursday night, tomorrow night, with the Bills and the Rams going at it. You pick a team, they win, you keep moving on. You pick a team, they lose, or I believe tie as well. You got to win. Got to win it outright, and you get to move on. Thanks to Imon Communications, the official sponsor of the KGYM knockout pool, for all their help. 319-366-1600. Mark, the Iowa women's basketball schedule released today. In fact, all of the Big Ten women's basketball schedules were released today in a BTN production. And if you like weekend games, the Iowa women are going to be up your alley for that, because they got a lot of weekend games, which I'm not sure what it means as far as Fran McCaffrey and the men are concerned.
Yeah, the men will be announced tomorrow. What do we count, seven Saturday or Sunday games?
I believe that is the case.
For the women, that's always good. It's kind of a backloaded Big Ten schedule. Seven out of the last 10 games for the Hawkeyes are going to be against upper division finishers from last year. Hawkeyes also play at home against Iowa State and UNI, I believe, at Drake.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's early in the season. Iowa will open against Nebraska Kearney in an exhibition game on Friday night, October the 28th at Carver. The regular season opener will be a week from that coming Monday, as they will take on Southern in Iowa City, and then Evansville, and then the aforementioned game at Drake on Sunday, November the 13th. Iowa goes to Kansas State as well. They go to Manhattan, which will not be easy. The Phil Knight Legacy Tournament, Iowa opens against Oregon State in Portland, and then will take on either Duke or UConn. Now, remember, Paige Beckers is not going to be playing for UConn, but I think they're still going to be okay.
Yes.
I think they're going to be fine. The ACC Big Ten Challenge, Iowa and North Carolina State on Thursday, December the 1st. And much like the men, the Iowa women and the Big Ten women are going to play a couple early December conference games, which makes this really unusual, Mark, is that Iowa will open the Big Ten on Sunday, December the 14th at Madison, taking on Wisconsin. Then we'll step back out on Wednesday, December the 7th, and host Iowa State in what is going to be maybe the biggest women's game in the history of this series, maybe outdoing last year's. And then they will host Minnesota on Saturday, December the 10th, before a week off, before UNI comes to Iowa City. Then the Hawkeyes back into the Big Ten on Thursday, December 29th, when they host the Purdue Boilermakers at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And like you said, it's a backloaded schedule. Iowa gets Maryland twice during the season, and they get Indiana twice during the season. Michigan and Michigan State, I believe, only once, though. So it all kind of evens out, right?
It does. Again, the men's schedule, which we pretty much know.
We know in the non-conference.
Yeah. We'll be announced tomorrow.
There you go. One more thing before we get to Bowling Night in America. The captain of the PGA Tour President's Cup team, Davis Love III, made his captain's picks today. Six of them for the President's Cup, which will be played at Quail Hollow next month. Or is it later this? It's later this month. We're in September now. Not big surprises. Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, kind of leading the troops, but you got a couple of bulldogs in there, and Kevin Kisner, and Billy Horschel, who had the line of the day today. I'll let you give that. And then Max Homa and the rookie Cameron Young are the others that are going to be joining the six that made it on points.
Yeah, they're both PGA players and LIV players playing this week. And Horschel said, those LIV guys are really going to be tired by Sunday. Which, if you're paying attention, LIV events are 54 holes. This is a 72-hole event. Good for you, Billy Ho.
The BMW European PGA going on this weekend. Going on tonight. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's been four long months waiting for it. But it is back with vigor coming up tonight. The first Wednesday after Labor Day means only one thing, and that is the return of Bowling Night in America. And our Bowling Night in America preview is brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Can't wait to see Tom and everybody out there, the entire staff. We got eight guys in the team this year. We added one. Brought in a lefty. That's always good. And we will be ready to go tonight. We are not exactly sure who the opponent is, Mark, but if they go off of what they've done in the past and go one versus two, three versus four, et cetera, I think we get our friends from the Union Station tonight. But don't quote me.
Two lefties and six righties. Is that right?
Correct.
It's a good squad.
The two lefties, though, they're all staters, man. You got Cole and you got Starry out there.
Yeah. State champion wrestler and Starry and Cole, all around great athlete.
Correct. And then there's us. No, we got I'm not gonna throw the Bruners into that group.
I was reminded, you know, one of those Facebook reminders that you get?
Yep.
9 years ago, the Rusty Nails won the Evergreen League Championship. It's about time, isn't it, Scott?
It's about time.
9 years.
9 whole years. My goodness. Time flies, doesn't it?
And there, as I can tell, Durline Scale and Pro Bowl and Concepts are still in the league.
They're
right?
Still in the league.
Okay.
Diamond Edge still in the league. So, yeah, same teams, same group of individuals, but going to have a good time tonight and going to be great to see everybody after the long summer. And hopefully we'll maybe bowl well on top of
it. That'd be nice.
That would be nice. Getting off to a good start and not have to dig our way out of a hole for the entire season. But thanks to May City. They always have fun with us. And they, like I said, if you're interested, there's still time to sign up for league bowling. Give them a call, Mark.
362-0136. Or you can visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com. Results tomorrow.
The Evergreen League does need a 14th team.
Oh, it does?
So we still have 13. So if you are interested, stop on out. Give them a call over at May City. Stop by tonight. See all the fun we have. Talk to Mike Hoskins. Hi, Mike. See you tonight. All right. Tomorrow, we will talk to Tom Kakert, Chris Liss as well. And a BNA report. Mark, have a good night.
Will do. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class on KGYM. Todd and Alex are next.
Okay, so how crazy high are these gas prices right now, right? I mean, I filled up my car the other day, and I thought for that price...